Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio. I am Tower and we are glad you joined us. All correspondence and inquiries of the WIBR Warn Radio Network can be sent to us through our contact page on warn-usa.com. Be sure to follow the WIBR Warn Radio on Twitter by using hashtag WatchmanIS216 and hashtag WarnRadio. On LinkedIn, you can find us by using hashtag Watchman. And join us on USA.life and MeWe by using hashtag WarnRadio. And the WIBR Warn Radio Network is on three new social sites, Parler, Clout Club, and Gab. And you can listen to the radio shows, the Warn Radio Network, by going to the following carriers: Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes Player, Apple Podcast, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Warn Radio Visions on Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Addict, CastBox, Google Podcast, Anchor, Deezer, and Podchaser. Be sure to take time to read the pertinent articles by The Watchman. They're inspired, and they're anointed, and they apply to this day and age that we're living in. And this week we feature America's Last Stand of Crisis Opportunity. America's Last Stand, what most Americans see as a crisis, these enemies of the state see it as an opportunity for the uneducated in destroying any society. The reality comes at you quickly. And American Foundation, the truth for America, from the division in America on this June of 2020, there are varied opinions. What is our foundation? Is there hope for this nation? And last days, ever learning but not knowing the truth. Wisdom of this world, knowledge, and always learning doesn't mean you really know the truth. And now I welcome in the Watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. Here we are again, beginning of a week.
Yes. And
17th of June.
Already past the middle of the month.
Oh, man, I can't believe it. You know, time goes by fast in spite of all the nutty things that are going on. And, boy, there's lots of them.
It's crazy.
So, at any rate, we got a lot of stuff up front tonight, and a lot of information, a lot of news. By the way, we're over on Parler, Gab, and Clout Club, as well as MeWe and USA.life. Those are a bunch of new social sites we're on. We got entirely new outgrowth opportunities in all those areas where people are just coming to know who we are. So at any rate, we do have an upper frontline report. This is from one of our ministries that we have come to know. And so at any rate, Tower, are you ready?
Yes. This is from Bibles for the Mideast. They are really struggling because their pastors are stricken with COVID. They're in lockdown. And the situation with COVID in so much of the world continues dire. And unfortunately, the already disadvantaged often bear the brunt of it. And they're having severe lockdowns in India. Well, they've begun to loosen them, but then the cases have surged again. And it's a confused response in Pakistan, and it's meant disaster for many. And the suffering has been huge, as you know, for these countries in the Middle East. And one of the ones really suffering is a country served by Bibles for the Mideast is Bangladesh. And it, by God's grace, we have provided family kits of necessary food, grains, medicines, and safety equipment, masks, and etc. to many of the poor members of our church in India and Bangladesh. And this is Pastor Peter Hanif. He is with the Assembly of the Loving God President. And some families they've helped twice, and they could have helped certain families in Pakistan, Nepal, and Myanmar. And sadly, the mostly poor Bibles for Mideast church members and their children now face malnutrition and even starvation. Only our Lord can help overcome this situation, Pastor Peter acknowledges. And there's a pastor in Pakistan. His name is Ansar, and he's been working tirelessly among the Christians with COVID patients as a health worker. And persecution of Christians in Pakistan, considered low-class citizens, mean proper care and treatment simply doesn't happen. And now, unfortunately, Pastor Ansar has gotten sick. He's been hospitalized and put in isolation. He needs a ventilator, but has been told there are none available. And both he and his wife are former Muslims, and they have two small children, a four-year-old son and a seven-month-old daughter. And they and some of the church members are now in quarantine. And on behalf of the LAG Church, pastors and believers, say, Pastor Peter, once again, I thank you for your generous support and prayers for the evangelism and charity work of the church and the ministry. And this, they really need help. And if you feel the need to help them, if you want to help them, you can go to BiblesForMideast.com. That's Bibles with the number 4, Mideast.com. That's
yes.
Really tragic, Dana, what's going on over there.
Well, it is, and that is the issue when you get in third world countries. They usually, because of the ability, you know, the poor and, of course, the hospitals and just a lot of issues, they do suffer. I mean, they do suffer a lot more. And so, you know, the thing of it is that America needs to get recovered, because there's a lot of Christians, there's a lot of ministries, there's people that can help out. And, you know, the Democrats sound like they just as soon keep us on lockdown with masks for the rest of our life. Well, we need to move on.
Yes, we do.
You know, and the Democrats can stick their head in a bucket of water as far as all
I
can.
Well, I think they have it in the sand, their head in the sand.
Well, I think they know exactly what they're doing. They want this to go on so they can hopefully defeat Trump. And that's the whole issue, is what they're doing, including in the liberal cities, which is a mess. I mean, what you read with what these people are doing and what the liberals have given in is just ridiculous in some of these cities.
It's horrifying.
Yeah, it is. It's just nothing I agree with, and there's nothing you can do about it. So you just have to serve God and move forward. There's more important issues than these knuckleheads in the big cities here that don't know what they're doing, and they decide they want to get rid of the cops. Well, good luck with that one. I think you're about as dumb as a fence post, but if that's what you think you need to do, well, history will prove whether you're right or wrong. And with that, don't forget this thing with Bibles for the Mideast, you know, and Tower gave you the thing. That's really where you need to go to if you want to give to them. You know, they're pretty good about contacting all those who get in contact and help them. Suzanne is one of their main, I think it's Suzanne or Susanna in Canada she works out of. She's connected with them, too. She's been with them. I'm not sure how long, but at any rate, you know, I've been in contact with her as well concerning this ministry. And so, you know, it's important to try to get help. And we've got a number of those that we're familiar with that work on the ground. And this is an advocacy program. And this is... You know, we need to get help overseas, and if we can, that's what we want to do. But, you know, you send it to them. I don't collect money for them. They don't pay me any money. This has nothing to do with that. There are those that help us in our ministry, but we don't actively go out seeking donations. If a person wants to help the WIBR and the advocacy ministry, they're free to do so. They can go to our websites. But other than that, you know, this is an advocacy, and we tell you a lot of these. So when we go through the stories, we tell you who to contact, where you can go if you want to help them. And so the next thing we want to do is talk about North Korea. And... you know, we did a story how long ago when we were talking about the church they had in North Korea?
Well, 2 or 3 months ago, I'm not sure. It's been...
Was it that long ago? Wow.
Maybe.
Well, you know, time goes by so fast. But at any rate, in that, we actually talked about, and there was major ministries that were working with those. And this was long before the COVID. They were indeed dealing with a church that is located in North Korea itself. And, of course, when you talk about missions anywhere online, including Bibles for the Mideast, we don't mention real names. We don't go into any information because the enemies are listening. The enemies know. And so we don't want to threaten the lives of any of them. So it's important. So at any rate, this is concerning. This is from Missions Network News Online. You can find it, MNNO, I think is what it is online. Any rate, Mission Network News, you can search for it and find it. And, of course, this has been a big deal because North Korea has been really, really upset with South Korea because of launches of various types. And, of course, what we're talking about comes out of the Voice of the Martyrs, who is monitoring the situation. And, see, they send out bottles with rice in it. There's also some that send out balloons with the message of God in them. There's a lot of different avenues to get the Word of God into North Korea. Well, North Korea doesn't like that. And so Kim Jong-un's sister, who is now at a higher level in the status level over there, of course, they blew up that little building in between North and South Korea, and now they've said they're going to invade the DMZ. I think that's tantamount to war, but that's what they said.
Yeah.
Because they're mad at South Korea because all these rice bottles and rockets and Bible balloons are getting sent in over into North Korea. But the bottom line of it is that... He says that And this has to do with South Korea, because South Korea is cracking down and trying to please North Korea. And they said that all sea launches and balloon launches are now officially stopped. And if we do the launch, this is the people talking who's going to be doing this. They say they'll be met by a lot of police officers to stop them. Foley, who happens to be with Voice of the Martyrs Korea, says that they've been stopped by police in the past when launching Bible balloons or bottles. And they've done it every year, and they began the launches in 2005. And he says every year these kind of issues come up. And of course, in the agreement that South Korea had with North Korea is that they would stop the launches, whoever's putting them on. Now the laws within Korea, South Korea, they're attempting to pass a law that would forbid all rocket launches of balloons and various things like that. But there is a problem here when you're talking about it. But the bottom line of it is their work is non-political. It's not symbolic. It's not a protest. It's just a job. And their job is to get the Bible into North Korea.
Yeah.
And that's the bottom line. And when you have a call from the Lord, what matters is the law of God over the laws of men. When the laws of man trump the laws of God, you follow the law of God, period.
Yes, amen.
And so with that, a lot of these believers over there, they wouldn't even know anything about a Bible. Of course, if they're caught with a Bible or even a page of a Bible, they're in trouble over there. And over there, it's been referred to as blood guilt. I talk a lot about blood guilt, but not in this manner. So if you're a Christian and you belong to a family, anybody that's related to you by blood is also guilty automatically in North Korea. So the persecution in North Korea is probably, I would say, that's why it's number one on the persecution list, worldwide. So make no mistake about it. But the good news is, in spite of North Korea, there is a church there. There are Christians there. And people do find a way to get the Bible and get food and help into them. I find this amazing. And so we're going into news shorts now, and we're talking about Sudan. And, Sudan has been a lot of trouble, troubled for many, 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 many years. And from my own experience, my experience with Sudan goes back over two decades when the Lord laid it on my heart, spoke to me early one morning about Sudan. And they've been trying to create this peace because there are a Muslim sector and there's, you have Islamic radicals and you have the Christians. You have the Orthodox Church, you have the Roman Catholic Church, but they're all targets. When you get into the persecution of Christians, especially overseas, it doesn't matter whether they're Catholic or Orthodox or whatever you think you are. If you have crosses or believe in the name of Christ and serve Christ and you call yourself a Christian, you're going to be targeted. They could care less what denomination. You're just a target. And so, they're burning down churches now, and they have been burning them down. In 2019, they were burning them down. And that was in December of 2019, and then they were burned down again in January of 2020. And so the bottom line of it is that they continue to go back, and they burn the churches down, they rebuild the churches, And, of course, now this is the second time, so they need help to do that. And this is pretty much, you know, the Islamists, when they do that, they know about the, you know, the money that these churches have. There's only so much money. And I remember years ago when we had some personal contacts in India, there was a family that needed a house, and $50 would give them a house. And so we were sending the money anyway, and so we sent them some for that specific need. I think it was $50, whatever it was. It wasn't much. And so they built a house out of cinder blocks for them, which is what they wanted. You know, I think of that tower when we think of a cinder block house. I mean, in America, that's not us.
No.
I mean, we have to put the wiring in it. We have to put the sewer in it, the running water in it, the insulation in it, the cooling in it, the windows, you know, doors, locks.
Heaters,
you name it, and we put it in it. You know, in India, just send me some cinder blocks. I'm going to stick them together, and that's going to be my house. And so, you know, my heart goes out to these. So, in of course, Nigeria again has come into that. France 24 reported on this, but I think they got it out of persecution.org. But it's talking about Boko Haram, which we talk about all the time. There was a large killing over there, and they razed a village to the ground in the northern part of Nigeria, what we call, what is known as Borneo State. And this is really where a lot of this stuff happens. And they came in on motorcycles, and this is not new because motorcycles is really popular there. And what they will have, of course, you have two. You have one driving the motorcycle, and you have one with on the back with an AK-47. And so they come through the village real fast with AK-47s and start shooting everything. And then, of course, usually a truck will come in behind them, and everybody will get out and do what they can to steal and raise the village.
Oh, that's horrible.
And, of course, all the people in the village are defenseless.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it would be different if someone met them with, you know, a large caliber machine gun, you know, like they use in World War II.
Yeah.
It would have blown that bike apart. But see, they don't have nothing there.
Well, they're caught by surprise, I think.
Yeah, well, they are, you know.
They don't have a chance to do anything.
No. And, of course, a lot of them don't have that anyway. We're talking about people that are poor, let alone afford guns. And in most of these areas, you don't find guns very much. Even tribal members, if you go to the Maasai tribe and some of those in Africa, they're still running around and they're using their bows and arrows and walking around in...
And spears.
Yeah, spears, barefoot, and everything else, you know, I mean... They've been hunting that way since the beginning of time, and that's how they live. It's amazing. And and of course, they said that the men attacked because they suspected that people were informing on Boko Haram's movements. And of course, they did admit that they caught them unaware and killed a bunch of them. So. But over 10 years, according to their figures that they have, 36,000 people has been killed, and 2 million have been displaced.
Good dear God in heaven.
That's in the northeast part of Nigeria alone. And now it's spread to Niger, Chad, and Cameroon, and we know that because we reported on that, and at one time... Nigeria, Niger, Chad, and Cameroon, I think all of them were forming a military together to fight Boko Haram. And it kind of didn't coordinate very well, so then some of them ended up fighting on their own. But the one truth is that Boko Haram in a lot of places has, especially Nigeria, has better their army for Boko Haram is a lot better equipped than even the Nigerian army, Buhari. So this is a major problem, major problem here. So remember these areas in Africa. You know, the tribal aspect of Africa also is another reason, because in the tribal aspect, there's always been this kind of tribalism and fighting amongst them. It's kind of a natural thing that they have there, but it's too bad. They need to learn to live in peace. But we've dealt with Nigeria and the stories out of there just endlessly. And our big question, like everybody else, is why hasn't Buhari done something? Who is the president? Why hasn't their army done something? And of course, they have more than just Boko Haram. They have the Fulani, and they have also an ISIS group. So all of these are dangerous groups.
Well, it's not going to be good for Buhari when he stands before the Lord, because he's complicit in all these murders. He's guilty of murder.
Well, he's a Fulani, and the Fulani are responsible for hundreds of deaths.
I know.
And you would think that they would do something. But, it's just like, they don't. And so that's a real issue here too, So at any rate, we are going to get into another one here pretty soon. But I want to remind you that to pray for the persecuted church around the world. You can also get more information from a lot of the places that when we refer you in these particular stories. And you can always listen to these on our warn-usa.com site, danaglennsmith.com, but we're on a lot of different sites now. And now all of the newly posted stories are also going on all of our new social feeds. We've got an entirely new Outlook feed to a lot of others, and we've got a lot of other stuff lined up. But in some of the cases, it takes some more funds in order to get them into some of these areas, because it does cost a little more money. But, everything is money. Unfortunately, even for our brethren overseas, it's about money to help them. It's about prayers to help them. It's about a lot of things here. And so remember them. So, Tower, are you about ready to do your next one?
Sure.
We're in China talking about the Uyghurs. And
That's both ours.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
I call them Uyghurs. But at any rate, they're Muslim. They're the ones that are in a big camp. And we do this for a reason, because although we are a Christian organization, we don't like to see anybody, especially like those of the Uyghurs, be treated the way they are. So go ahead.
No, it's both of us, I'm telling you. Dana, Tara.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. I thought it was the other one. Thank you for that.
Yes. They are the Uyghurs. I wasn't changing their name.
Oh. Well, that was a miscommunication from the highest. I'm going to have to talk to the director of the show.
Yeah.
Maybe the producer. The producer's in the back room back there laughing. So, well, at any rate, this comes out of Washington. And if you've been paying attention, there's been a lot of stuff going on. And a lot of it is coming out of Trump's desk. But, he's expected to sign the Uyghur Human Rights Policy Act into law, which he's already done, because this is a little bit a story we brought up. And so this makes it the first time that and I'll tell you, there's a lot of them in it. This is the Uyghur concentration camp, where the Chinese keep them, is known as the world's largest concentration camp today.
Really? Wow.
And a lot of these Uyghurs are used by China as free labor when they're producing goods and services for American companies. This has been in the news.
That's just wrong.
And so, you know, the Democrats will sit over there and they will make fun of Trump, and so will the news. But I'm telling you, there has been more done by Trump in a lot of these particular aspects, like Christian rights overseas, Christian rights in America, and things like this than any other president. And today it came out that in regards to loans, for instance, to black businesses, when nobody would give them a loan, President Trump years and years ago was giving loans out of his own company, his own pocket, to black businesses.
Really?
To help them get started. Yeah, and it was the black businessman who was talking about it. He's been friends of the black community for a long time, and all this nonsense that spread by the left and a lot of radical blacks are just lies from the pit of hell. There's a lot of lies out there, and you need to make sure you know what's truth and what isn't.
Yeah.
So at any rate, we're glad to see this with the Uyghurs, because I don't agree with this. They've been transporting, this is, it says since the spring of 2017. Now, we've been reporting on this for quite a few years, and that would make it about 3 years, over 3 years now. So that could be right, you know, for us when we first heard it. And they moved them into re-education camps. And, of course, everybody is calling it a concentration camp.
Right.
And because they're an ethnic minority and practice Islam, China has been targeting not just Christians, but Muslims. So you find yourself that when you look at China, and this has always been a bug in my ear. You know, Tower and I did this, and I've said this before. We went through, I don't know how many stores, and one of the worst portions is the kitchen utensil aisle. With all the coffee pots and with all the accoutrements that people use in their
microwaves.
Homes. Yeah. You go in there and try to find one that isn't made in China. It might have, it's going to change, you know, because of the changes and stuff.
Of Trump's policies.
Yeah, but a lot of those things were coming out of China. And China has used labor like these Uyghurs, and you wonder why they can produce them cheaply. And they go to American companies who are making more money and failing to employ Americans. I mean, this is about money and greed, folks.
Yes, it is.
And it's money and greed on the back of people like the Uyghurs and others who were oppressed by China. And there's also Christians. We know very well Christians were doing it. Tower, you want to tell them about the light bulb story and the Christian who said that? He eventually came to America to live. And that's how we know about it.
Yeah, that's why I don't like buying Christmas lights from that are made in China, because they were making the prisoners and the Christian prisoners and make all these light bulbs, strings of lights for decoration, and they were told to make so many a day, and if they didn't meet the quota, then they beat their hands. And how can you make more light bulbs when your hands are mangled and beaten and sore and stiff? And it's just crazy. So I just do not want to even buy lights from, I make sure I don't buy lights from China. I've found them from other countries, but it's just horrifying how they treat people.
Well, the guy that told the story was in one of those camps.
Yeah, it happened to him.
And he was in there. He never went to trial either, if I remember right. They just put him in there because he was a Christian. And he eventually got out of there, and he got to the United States, and he's the one that told the story, and it made the rounds of quite a number of years ago. So, at any rate, when you are buying stuff, folks, try to find out where it comes from. And if it comes from a country that is persecuting Christians and other groups, you need to pay attention and not buy that. Now, if you absolutely need it, you know, I mean, like, for instance, in China, almost all the parts, everything you could think of was coming from China. It's hard to get away from it. But, you know, you need to understand that, number one, we shouldn't be buying these things from China. Number two, we should be making them ourselves. We shouldn't be employing Americans. And if we are going to make them with other countries, we want to make sure that they are not forced laboring these people. And so there's a lot of corruption in this kind of thing, because everybody wants to do business with America, because America has a consumer society that's rich compared to the rest of the world.
Yep.
And people want to make a living. And so China takes advantage of that. But in this case, the communist government got the money, and the Uyghurs got nothing. Well, they got to live. And, well, according to this article, too, one of the notes it said, over the past year, the Chinese government has graduated thousands of Uyghur detainees and assigned them to work in factories. Reports indicate American companies operating in China, such as Nike, Calvin Klein, and Apple, either directly employ or source from suppliers suspected of using Uyghur detainees as forced labor. That's why you need to pay attention, and that is out of CBN.com.
Yeah, you want to rethink this.
Yeah, you do. You sure do. So we're moving on here. We do have another one up front. Another one. This is from Pakistan.
This is a blasphemy sentence appeal. This is about a Pakistani couple that have been in prison for 6 years waiting for their appeal to be heard. Well, it was supposed to be heard today, and then it's been put off, so they don't know when it will be heard, but hopefully soon. And Saif Al-Maltuk, the couple's attorney, he also represented Asiya Bibi. He told the BBC that evidence used to convict the two Christians was deeply flawed. And he said that the country's judges in past cases have been scared of acquitting suspects due to the risk of being targeted by Islamic extremists. And he thinks the case against this couple is weaker than the case against Bibi. The couple was convicted 6 years ago of sending blasphemous text messages insulting the Prophet Muhammad to a local imam.
We did that story, by the way.
Yeah, from a phone number. And here, his brother said he requested that his name not be published. He told the BBC the couple was innocent, and he doubted they were literate enough to have written the abusive message. And what's really tragic about this is they've been in prison for 6 years. They have four children that they're not able to be with. I'm sure the children are probably with family members, which is a good thing. But it's really tragic that these parents are not able to be there with their children and to raise them for the Lord and to watch them grow and nurture them. And the terrible thing about these countries, and especially Pakistan, is that the blasphemy laws are often misused to settle personal scores against their neighbors or whatever. And during this couple's trial, the lawyer suggested a neighbor the couple had argued with might have attempted to frame them by purchasing a SIM card in the man's name and sending out the text messages. So please pray for this couple. Hopefully they will be acquitted like Asiya Bibi was.
Well, you know, she wrote a book.
Did she?
Yeah.
Well, I heard she was going to. We talked about that. I didn't know.
Well, she was a little bit down the road. I'm not sure where we are, but she was putting together a book. And with her being so popular, it won't be difficult. You'd have to look at it to see a BB and see if she has finished reading it. She's living in France now.
Yeah.
That's kind of common knowledge. I don't know why she wanted to go to France, but there must be a good community of Pakistanis there.
Well, there was a woman there that was really helping her and working with her to get her out of the country. Oh. And that woman helped her get to Canada, but she wanted to get to France to be where that woman was, and that woman is also helping her write the book.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, you know, none of that would have been possible without the internet and really having the information that we have today.
That's right. She would have been killed a long time ago.
Yeah. And thank God for the ACLJ and a lot of others who worked to get them released. The ACLJ had some more updates today. And they were also, this one was before China, to make pleas for the persecuted church over there. And also for that one pastor that they've never let go that was in a neighboring country.
What is his name? John? I can never say
John,
the last name.
Yeah.
It's C-A-O or C-O-A?
Chow or Cow? Or
Chow, I think maybe.
Yeah,
I'm not
C-A-O.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure how they spell that or say that. But yeah, he was one of the ones they were bringing before the court.
And he's an American citizen.
He is.
And he has a wife and two sons.
Yeah, so he needs to be released.
Yes, he does.
And we've mentioned a number of these over the years. We've followed these and we prayed for them and we've seen them released. So we ask you to pray for John Chow, whatever his name is. He's a pastor that's being held in China, and he was working with people over there to help him.
He was starting schools over there as well.
Yeah, I mean,
in China, trying to help educate children.
Yeah, so that's the way it is, unfortunately.
Yes.
Now, we're also going to talk again about President Trump. He did sign an executive order. And, of course, the Commission on International Religious Freedom, this is something that Trump actually had put together. Isaac Six of Open Door said there's a lot of substance to it, and prioritizes religious freedom. And of course, you know, we've been covering this for a long time.
Years.
Yeah, and the thing of it is that it's important for the United States to have proper influence. And according to Wendy Wright, president of the Christian Freedom International, they said Trump's order, which has already passed, I mean, he's already done it, strengthens the U.S. government's ability to vigorously promote religious freedom worldwide and advocate for individuals who are persecuted for their faith, especially in countries that are the worst violators. It reflects the reality that religious freedom is a fundamental right and essential for security. Now, of course, now we can tell you what those are. You know, North Korea, China. We also have Afghanistan. We have Pakistan and India. Nigeria is on that, is up and coming. I mean,
North Korea.
Yeah, I said that one.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But at any rate, you know, I mean, this is what we need.
And, yes, it is. I'm glad he's doing that.
You know, and, you know, see, and this is the frustration. You report on it, you tell people, you know, and money gets sent over to help. And we know that people like the ACLJ, American Center for Law and Justice, they have a lot of overseas stuff. They've even got a European branch. They appear before the World Court. they deal in other countries, and they did stand up for Asia Bibi, and they stand up for John Chow and a lot of others. And so it's important to understand that you need to get involved. And if you're getting involved already, that's fine. Don't feel guilty. But help get this program out to others. Help them to hear it. Because the bottom line for this, folks, is that we want to get help to those who need it.
Yes, amen.
And when things don't get done, I'll tell you a focus, and that's Nigeria. We've been reporting on Nigeria for many years, and it always gets worse. The Fulani are always killing Christians. Nobody ever stops them. Boko Haram are always killing Christians as well as Muslims. You know, if Muslims get in the way, both groups will. And then there's an ISIS springing up. This is in Nigeria. And Jonathan Goodluck Johnson was a Christian and a president. He couldn't do anything. Now we have Buhari, who is a Fulani and a Muslim. He doesn't seem to get anything done. And the whole thing is just a mess. And so, you know, this particular kind of an order can bring these things before the United States, before all those people to try to make a difference. And this thing requires the State Department to develop a plan to prioritize international religious freedom and foreign policy and foreign assistance. And it assigns $50 million for the State Department USAID to fund programs to promote this religious freedom abroad. And there's a lot of other things that it does, but see, we see this as a good thing because, you know, you can only report so much and you continue to pray, but we need to have people on the ground, people that can talk to these leaders in person, people who can say, listen, you got to do something. What's the problem here? What do you need? And get the problem solved to get this taken care of. Because it doesn't do any good for you to know that there's persecution. It doesn't do any good if we can't bring any relief, if we can't help them. If we're just going to report on it and say, well, it's too bad, we brought it up and we think it's too bad, but there's nothing more we can do, then we failed. We need to do more than just do that. So you need to pray, and if you're not giving to some ministry that has boots on the ground, find one and help them out. And so this is where we're at today. And understand that while everybody is working, a lot of people are working to overthrow Trump, there's a lot of people that support him and what he does. Because a lot of what is being said is nothing but a pack of lies.
That's right.
And there's some of those that are so proud that they will not admit the truth here. And I've heard even Christians, other Christian ministries that have even said certain things about Trump. You know, the bottom line of it is, Trump is not our God. Trump is not our pastor. But he's somebody we wanted in there in order to make some changes. He's not up there to kiss the feet of those who are destroying this country. He's up there to remind them where we want this to go, and that is as
That's
it
right.
always has been, based upon the constitutional republic, although we're a democracy now, and now we're leaning more towards socialism, and we want to fire all of our cops and our liberal cities, the ones that are run by liberals, that's been a bastion of democratic governance for some of them as long as 50, 60 years, are in some of the worst trouble right now, and they're giving away the farm. And so you need to understand that there's a lot of things at stake, period. So, with that, we got another place to go. This is Iran. It's amazing how many different things, you know, when you get to look at all the stuff that, you know, we talk about. The United Nations Human Rights Committee. Now, the only problem with that is there's a lot of particular people on the Human Rights Committee that don't respect human rights for their own people. But it's supposed to be a body of independent experts who monitor the countries that signed the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights. Now, see, China don't recognize civil and political rights. They don't respect religious rights. Now, those rights include the right to life, the freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, electoral rights, and rights of due process and a fair trial. And I'll tell you, for China being part one of the main members of the UN, it don't respect that at all as far as religious. And we don't do anything about it. And we see this around the world. Now, five Christian groups, the World Evangelical Alliance, Open Doors, Christian Solidarity, those are pretty much ones that we have been concerned with. The Middle East Concern, Article 18, I know that one, have written a report on Iran. And, of course, coming in June, which is already here, there was a meeting in Geneva. And the big subject, of course, is Iran. And it allows the Zoroastrian Jewish and Christian Iranians to perform whatever they need to as far as religion. Now, all three of these go back historically in Iran, and Jews especially, because it was Cyrus, the Persian king, who freed the Jews and defeated Babylon, and Cyrus was called God's anointed. That's in your Bible. And so, when you get into Christian Iranians, the government will recognize the Assyrian Christians, the Armenian Christians, Chaldeans, and the Catholic Church of Iran. And unless they have that historic link, they are unrecognized and afforded no rights. Now, where you come in at is if you're a Muslim and they come to Christ, it's really difficult for them in any Muslim nation, and Iran's at the top of the list as well. And so if you have someone in Iran that studied outside of Iran, that's a red flag to them as well. And so there's a lot of restrictions, and of course this is what they want to have a report on to bring it out, but we report on persecution in Iran all the time. And matter of fact, we do have another story on that, and I think we've got time for it. Tower?
Yes?
Are you ready for your underground church one?
No, I didn't see that one. I'm sorry.
Well, we got to do it.
Okay. Excuse me. Only a few weeks ago, Iran was in the news as a hotspot for COVID-19 pandemic. However, the pandemic has now touched almost every corner of the world, and Iran has mostly fallen out of headlines. But according to David Curry of Open Doors, there's still plenty of talk about it when it comes to Iran. COVID-19's continued influence, anti-government protests last fall, and reoccurring unrest leaves many Iranians looking for answers and help. And Iran has landed ninth on the Open Doors watch list, a ranking of the top 10 most difficult countries for Christians. And, you know, that's why it's surprising that the local church is meeting the call for help. It's a church that's been forced underground into homes and house churches. Despite this, many people are coming to know Jesus. Not through coercion, not because it's a Western religion, as the Iranian government will tell you, the extremist Iranian government, but because people are desperate for answers. Yes, and I think that when you see things like this come along, people will turn to the Lord because they're not getting help from their church, you know, from their religion, the Muslim religion or whatever.
They will. This is a good story.
Yeah, the church has a unique draw because it understands what it means to thrive under pressure. For many Iranians undergoing current crisis, that's an attractive thing. You have populations that are scared, that are nervous, Curry says. So when we have a group of people who have an eternal perspective like the Iranian church, that's seen hard times know what it's like. This isn't a soft church by any means. What's more, the local church doesn't just survive, they thrive in servitude. They're doing everything that we would be doing, rallying around to get food, water to people who are cut off from the health care, who are hurting, serving, caring for families who have had a sick loved one, and prayer groups. This is a church that Curry describes as large, young, and underground. This is a church that enacts Christ's love by providing practical help and spiritual guidance. This is a church that has identified a need and felt God call them to meet it. And this is a church that needs your prayer. The people of Iran need miracles, Curry said. They're praying and trying to bring the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit to their neighbors. And I think it's the sort of salt and light that you see. Some of it very practical, some of it very much relying on the spiritual side of our faith. That is what's so transformational about what's happening in Iran. That's exciting to hear that going on in Iran.
You know, and the thing of it is we've seen this time and time again, and that the fact is that in some of the toughest circumstances, we see the Word of God spreading, the Spirit of God bringing people into the kingdom and people getting healed and saved and delivered all in one. And Iran, one of the reasons they started persecuting is because so many Muslims were becoming Christians. And so if God decides to move in Iran, he's going to move in Iran.
That's right. You better watch out.
Yeah. I mean, he's not going to ask you. And that's what we need in America, too. We need a move of God here.
Amen. And, we do.
Because you're not going to change anybody just because of politics. But you get someone that really needs help and the Spirit of God gets a hold of them, then you'll find someone that can find the Lord. And, of course, we're coming up to the end of the show. We only got a little while left. But, Tower, I think we've covered some really good stories today. And I love these stories on Iran. I love the fact of North Korea that we have a church up there. You know, people have churches. I like the fact that we're highlighting the Uyghurs. And, you know, there are just a lot of good things that we see in this program.
Oh, amen. And I'm glad that we are able to broadcast this and get help for the persecuted church.
Well, you know, folks, if you want to know out more about the persecuted church, you can go to warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. We have a lot of articles and shows and everything you can read and listen. And we use the Word of God a lot, so check them out. So, Tower, with that, we're going to have to get out of here.
Okay, well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. We love you. We pray for you. Send your prayer requests in, and we take them seriously before the Lord. And you can do that by going to warn-usa.com, and on our contact page, you can send them there. And may God richly bless you for all you do. Thank you for being with us, and
yep,
we love you. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Shalom.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Warn Radio.